I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I'm so thrilled to have my next guest here. I've fanned over him for years, admire his product, his original product, greatly, but... we have David Siegel here, who is the co-founder and CEO of his newest venture that is called Firebelly Tea. I was referring before to David's Tea. So many know that brand from many of the stores that have been around for a while. And then David is also the creator of an incredible healthy fast food restaurant chain in Canada that's called Mad Radish, which he founded in 2016, has 7 locations throughout Ottawa and Toronto. And his most recent venture, as I mentioned, is Firebelly Tea. It's focused on integrating tea into your everyday routine. And I'm super thrilled to have David on here, especially being a serial entrepreneur. So many lessons learned. As everyone knows, I love chatting with founders and CEOs about the zigzaggy road that exists along the way. And so I can't wait to have him here. So thanks, David, for coming on. Really excited to chat with you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me, Kara.
So where did this passion for starting companies come from? I mean, who was David as a little kid?
I was an entrepreneur from day one. I love selling and creating and doing. I had, you know, paper routes when I was way too young to have paper routes. My first employee was actually my older brother. It was called the Penny Saver
I remember the Penny Saver.
Right? And you have to go and they deliver the paper and then they give you 10 different flyers and you had to assemble the paper with the flyers. So I'd employ my older brother at minimum wage to do that for me. And then I'd go around and deliver it and we'd split it. I had my first business at 18. I was selling first aid kits door to door and partnered with St. John's Ambulance and donating a portion back to them. And I sold running shoes at the Foot Locker equivalent in Canada. And I loved it. I loved understanding why people exchange money for goods and sort of that moment of truth when the transaction happens and how people make decisions and how they feel about their decisions, their purchase decisions. And I've always loved entrepreneurship and couldn't dream of doing anything else.
That's amazing. So tea. That was really when I started to notice and read more about you. So how did tea become so much a part of your life?
I always liked tea. Growing up, I was never a coffee guy. I had a business coming out. I went to McGill University and then coming out of McGill, I started a software concept that didn't work. And I needed a job and I ended up working for a cousin of mine who's 50 years my senior. He's 91 now. And he had taken a step back from his clothing business and had been extremely successful. And he was looking for companies to invest in. And I was there to help him do this. And so I bought a book. I bought Warren Buffett's book on what he looks for in investments and read it. And I was in my mid-20s. And then I remember going into, as we were looking for these different companies to invest in, I remember going into this tea shop on one of the side streets in Montreal. And at that time, most of the tea shops around were either inspired or British inspired. And they all felt like you kind of had to whisper when you walked in, right? Like you had to know something about tea and it was all very precious. And I went into this one that was extremely well done and had this whole universe of tea and all these different flavors. And it was incredible. And I loved it. And I started thinking and, you know, I just was like, tea, it's an amazing product. Nobody's doing it in a fun way on the main streets. From a business standpoint, remember, I'm reading this book about what Warren Buffett looks for. I mean, there's no size, no color like there is in fashion. It's not like TV sets. You don't need big stores to sell it. It doesn't go bad like a turkey sandwich. And nobody's doing it in a fun way. I mean, it's sort of this category that's not really front and center. And it's interesting, you know, it's the second biggest drink in the world next to water. But in North America, it's taken a big backseat to coffee. I mean, I think tea is something like less than 2% of Starbucks' sales, just to put it in perspective. So I walked in the office the next day and I said, tea. And then, of course, through that journey, it became far less about business and far more about the tea. I really fell in love with the product. I mean, I had the privilege of traveling to Sri Lanka, India, and learning more about tea and drinking it every single day and really getting into it. And to the point where now I'm obsessed with tea. I mean, I drink God knows how many cups a day. I taste thousands of teas. I collect tea like people collect wine. Like I have a personal tea collection, like people have wine collections. So
that's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's this amazing product that has been part of humanity since the dawn of time, basically. I mean, thousands and thousands of years. And there's a reason for it. I mean, tea is really that good, especially really high quality tea, which is rare in North America and in America. Typically the tea we're drinking is not that good. It'd be, and a lot of people who tell you they don't like tea, it would be like the equivalent of drinking box of wine and saying you don't like wine. I mean, so I think there's a whole world of tea, a whole world of flavors, not to mention all the benefits, the health benefits of tea and the way it can impact your life, either to energize and focus or to rest and digest, that I think is an entire world that I love introducing people to.
That's incredible. So when you started David's Tea in 2008, I mean, you said, oh, let's just go start a tea company. But how is it different than some of the other things that you had done? I mean, you said like you started a first aid company, you had started, obviously. But now, I mean, this is starting, it's a physical goods company. You didn't just stay in Canada. I mean, you got into New York, you got into the U.S. overall. Yeah. So what was kind of the first aha moments in starting this company, David's Tea, that you sort of, you know, learned about entrepreneurship, but also about yourself?
So parts of it came very naturally to me. The selling part of it came very, very naturally to me. And I was very passionate about the product. And so I was able to speak to it. Other parts I had to learn. I had to learn a great deal about tea. I had to learn about buying. I had to learn about and a variety of different things. Thankfully, I had a good partner who had been through retail before and was able to set me up with the right contacts. But I had to learn the tea world on my own, and I did. And I it was an adventure, and I loved it. And I think a lot of it starts with the customer. You know, I was there. I mean, I always say to people, I mean, I'm a glorified tea guide because that's where I started. I mean, I started in a store selling tea. When you have one store, that's you're in the store and you're selling it. But really what made it successful is we were able to get people excited about tea and about loose leaf tea too, and a whole world of flavors that they didn't know existed in tea. And we did really interesting blends and we really moved the industry forward. And then now with Firebelly, I'm coming back to it 5 years later with an entirely new approach to it. You know, our big thing at Firebelly is we really want to elevate the experience and the quality of the product. And so we're not using any flavoring. So you don't have to go label hunting. If you look at most tea packages, you'll see this word either flavoring, natural flavor, artificial flavor. And it's just flavors that are made in a lab to make you taste something that's not really there. So, mm-hmm. You know, there is no way to infuse peach and pomegranate into tea and make it a really powerful peach and pomegranate, but you can get the highest quality Madagascar vanilla and it's out of this world, or you can get incredible ginger and cinnamon. And so at Firebelly, we're doing a combination of rare single origin teas, like Japanese green teas or Taiwanese oolong teas, which are out of this world. And most people have never had the opportunity to try them. And we're also doing blends as well. So mixing different teas, herbs, spices, and fruits together, but only using the flavor of the ingredient itself. And it just makes for a really fantastic taste that gets better with every single cup.
Where are the best teas coming from?
It depends. I mean, China, Japan, India, Sri Lanka, Taiwan, Kenya get some good ones from time to time. Korea now is making some great green teas. Those are really where you get. So tea itself is a very specific plant. It's the Camellia sinensis plant. and how you process it makes a difference. So, I mean, I could geek out on this far longer than your listeners want me to, but it's like if I had an apple, I took a bite out of it, left it on the counter, turns brown, it's oxidation. It's the same idea with tea. And depending on when you stop the oxidation process, and you do that through heat, either through a wet heat or a dry mm-hmm. heat, it'll impact the flavor of the tea. And that's and the properties and some of the health properties as well. So that's basically the difference between a green tea and a black tea. One is oxidized, one isn't. And then oolong is semi-oxidized. And there's a whole art to determining when to stop the process and whether you want a 25% oxidized or 60% oxidized. And these learning how to do this, these tea production methods are passed down through generations in some cases. And so that's tea itself, is that Camellia sinensis plant. But in North America, we call anything you put in hot and cold water, it's not coffee, tea. Right. So really what's tea? Well, tea is water infusions. I mean, in our vernacular, the way we think about it is, you know, give me a herbal tea. Well, there's no such thing as a herbal tea. Tea is a caffeinated product, but it's a different caffeine than in coffee. It releases into your bloodstream differently. So whereas with coffee, you get that big spike and crash. With tea, it releases a bit slower. So I particularly like it in the afternoon, a really nice green tea, a really nice oolong tea. But then I love the herbal infusions too. And you know, we have some incredible ones at Firebelly Tea where, you know, like we have one called After Dinner Mint that has valerian root in it, for example. Valerian root will help you sleep. So we did a chocolate mint valerian root tea for bedtime. And it's on a rooibos base. Rooibos is a South African herb that's naturally caffeine free. So again, not technically tea, but you know, we run with the North American definition and everything's tea that's not coffee.
Yeah. Well, it's an amazing product and it's sold online. Firebelly, you were so kind to send me a few different ones and I'm getting through all of them now and they're really, really incredible, but you could definitely taste the difference and the quality. And I'm pretty picky about anything that I'm drinking, but also the teas in particular, I could pick up on all the different notes and when I hear you describing these teas, it's not just about the quality, but I feel like there's some great stories when you've gone to visit so many of these different farms and you know so much of the backstory and that, you know, the sweat and tears that went into it. It's fascinating. My dad had started a brand inside of a large company years ago called Healthy Choice. And as a kid, I grew up with my dad telling me about the backstories of the, you know, the shrimp fishermen that actually would they wouldn't go out past 4 a.m., you know, that they were always out there doing the fishing this early in the morning. And actually in the early days of Healthy Choice, they actually had the stories of many of the people on the packaging. And I feel like your curiosity, your adventure in starting another company, there's a lot of great stories out there that you love hearing as well. How do you think that plays into, you know, the tea industry as a whole for you personally?
It's kind of romantic tea. You have all these different countries from all over the world and these artistic practices, which is basically what it is in the production of tea that is passed down generation to generation. It's incredible. It's incredible. I mean, going to some of these tea estates or farms and seeing, you know, getting a fresh cup of tea right on the estate and learning the production methods and seeing how they do it and how precise everything is and how much of an art it truly is. And then understanding how that product moves across the world and how it gets blended with other ingredients and working with different blending partners. And because, you know, I mean, all design teas work with different tea blenders. So mm-hmm. think of it like clothing, right? You have the designer and the manufacturer. I don't actually stock threads myself. But in this case, I don't stock ginger or stock licorice root, but someone else does and right. they work with us on the blending. And so understanding that entire supply chain is really interesting. And same thing on the accessories too. I mean, we've created with Firebelly an entire tea accessory line. Like we have a stop infusion travel mug where you can stop the infusion so it won't get bitter. You can make hot or iced tea and you can do it all on the go with high quality loose leaf tea. We have these infusers that we made with this little holding dish I've been drinking from. So when I'm done steeping it in the cup, sort of fits right on. And then I put it in my holding dish
very
afterwards.
Cool.
Yeah. And then it all stores together. And so like thinking through all of these details in the design process it's a ton of fun. I love it. I mean, making a great product and understanding all the different components that go into doing that. And then when you finally see it hit the market and you see people enjoy it as much as you do, there's a lot of satisfaction in it.
Hiring great employees and keeping them is part of the growth plan for your business. TriNet offers full-service HR solutions tailored to small and medium-sized businesses so you can retain talent and grow. We're talking access to top benefits, help with compliance and payroll, even when your team is remote or out of state, the works. Because TriNet gets it. Your people matter to your business. Learn more about their HR solutions at trinet.com/podcast. That's TRINET.com/podcast. TriNet, incredible starts here. Hi, everyone. I wanted to take a moment to talk about my book. It's called Undaunted. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet on Audible or picked up a copy at Amazon or at your favorite bookstore, I think you're really missing out. Hopefully you're enjoying listening to The Kara Golden Show with all the amazing guests that I'm so lucky to interview and be inspired by. Stories of challenges and breakthroughs, lessons too. Each of these incredible guests teach me that being undaunted really is the answer. And that is what you will learn from my story, which I share in my book, Undaunted. Not only how I came up with the idea for Hint, but also the journey that I experienced along the way. You see, most people don't know all the challenges that entrepreneurs go through in building a company. And the journey, the ups and the downs, twists and turns, you will hear it all in Undaunted. Probably the thing that has made me happiest about writing this book is hearing from people and how the book has helped them push through hard things and try new things. I have heard from countless people how Undaunted has helped them see that they are not alone in their hard times that they are experiencing, but also how pushing forward and finding a way is usually what it takes. My real stories with my observations looking back that just might make you change your mind about what you can endure and what you can achieve. Don't let anyone tell you you can't. It's time to move past your fears and defy the doubters too. My book Undaunted is available everywhere books are sold, on Amazon and Audible as well. And shoot me a DM and tell me what you think. Back to the show. I also want to talk a little bit about Mad Radish. So you decided, sure. So here you had some stores with David's Tea, and maybe that gave you some ideas that it wasn't going to be that daunting to go and launch a fast food, healthy fast food restaurant. But
turns out it's pretty hard.
Yeah, pretty hard. Didn't know the pandemic was coming.
Didn't know it was coming. No, I didn't get the memo. I lived in the U.S. When we went in the States with David's Tea. So I was in Boston. It amazed me how far ahead the American market is in fast food, particularly fast food. And in Canada, our options were very limited. So when I came back home and I made the decision to leave David's Tea, I decided I would try and bring more healthy fast food to Canada. And the idea with Mad Radish is that, you know, eating well, getting food that nourishes you shouldn't be a trade-off, but shouldn't feel like taking your medicine. You know, there shouldn't be a trade-off between healthy eating and taste. And so we're really trying to create healthy food that doesn't make you feel like you've just had rabbit food and that leaves you feeling great, but that also tastes great. And it's been tough, but we've really stuck with it and have a great team there and some partners in that business that are outstanding and have helped me develop the menu and the assortment. And, you know, we survived the pandemic and now we're trying to expand that business as well.
Well, I feel like that's the thing about entrepreneurship, that you can go start these things and, you know, it takes a lot of, you're going to get hit with bumps in the road. You've got to be resilient. You've got to make some fast turns along the way, depending on what the scenario is. I think like the thing that I see that really doesn't work for people who decide that entrepreneurship isn't for them is that these unexpected hurdles that come in, blocks, whatever you want to call them. And if you can't make those quick decisions, if you can't look at strategy and say, okay, we've got to change strategy, sure, then being an entrepreneur is definitely not for you.
It's lonely too. The dark days are really dark. I mean, you're trying to figure something out and nobody cares. I mean, you're not in a boardroom, especially at the start with an entire team of people who are there to help you. So getting things off the ground requires a tremendous amount of energy. And I think the hardest part is managing your own psychology. And I think
I agree.
Not enough is spoken around that, and how important it is for entrepreneurs. I mean, to manage your impulses, to know when to take action, when to sit with it and the discomfort, and how to navigate different situations that are largely new.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you do it? I mean, because you're like a glutton for punishment. You just keep putting yourself back in, right?
I do, I guess. I do a lot. I do a lot to take care of myself. I exercise a lot. I got into meditation years ago. And I have a consistent practice. I've gotten better at being able to function even though there's lots of storm, because that's the thing, right? You never wake up in the morning and everything's perfect. It's constant problems, like constant fires that you have to put out, constant, you know, things that didn't go according to plan. And at a certain point, you kind of realize that's just what it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a big fan of thinking back on the things that gave me anxiety 2 months ago. You know, I'm like, okay, well, let's think about something that happened 2 months ago that I thought was the end of the world. In that moment, and oftentimes you don't even remember them. So it just sort of, I find it so moves true. From you're right, like what's so such a big deal right now? It's huge. It's the end of the world. Oh my God, the product came in and there's a nick in it or whatever, and you're dealing with this. And fast forward 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, it's something else. I mean, it's a new thing that you think is the end of the world, but of course the old thing is no longer the end of the world. That wasn't a big deal in the end. So I think you really, as you start to see the patterns of how these things develop and how they go, you learn to manage the swings of the game better.
Yeah, no, I think that is very valid for sure. So I'd love to hear a story of a challenge along the way. I mean, again, you are the serial entrepreneur who's done sure. multiple companies, and I'd love to hear where you faced a challenge or even if you'd call it a failure along the way, and what'd you learn from it and how did it make you better?
Well, I mean, I'm facing many right now, but I'll tell you one from the past. First business didn't work. It was a software company and it was called Fitting Room Central. And we sold the system for the fitting room where we captured what people tried on the fitting room and we compared it to what they bought. So the idea being when you like the look of something, you go into the fitting room with it and then you're evaluating the fit of it on your body. And so if you have a website, you want to know the site traffic and you also want to know the conversion. So show retailers that buying is this two-step process and we can give you more insights and if an item is selling or not, but you don't really understand why. And this could help you understand why. And I kept hearing this word interesting over and over again. You know, I'd write these handwritten letters to all the executives in different clothing companies. And I get all these meetings, whether it was The Gap or Forever 21 or any of these big clothing companies at the time. But I realized, and the mistake was, it was a nice to have, not a must have. And we were selling business to business. So it wasn't like an airport check-in terminal where I could say, hey, you put this in and you cut your labor by 20%. And the cost of this thing is actually only 5%. So it's a win. There you go. It's clear cut. Mm-hmm. We didn't have that. It was something that you needed to do something with. And the mistake was I hung on to it. I let people keep stringing me along longer than I should have. I was getting all these meetings and I was getting this positive response. And I realized, you know, people generally want to be nice. They don't want to be mean. And they actually believe they might implement this system because they were interested by it from an academic standpoint. But the realities of their corporate life meant that they're never going to buy it. First of all, it's a complex sale. You need to convince multiple different teams that they should go ahead and do this, the marketing team, the IT team, the finance team. And, you know, in business, you want to hear words like, when can you deliver? Or which account do I transfer the money to? Or action-oriented right. conversations. And what we would, what I was getting was a lot of, let's have another meeting. Let's bring in this person. Let's, and I was getting it over and over and over again. And it just wasn't something people were jumping on. And I eventually said, enough of this. I'm going to move on and do something else and landed on David's Tea. But that was a really hard thing to do. And I probably should have done it about 6 to 8 months sooner than I actually did. I think that failure is not, you didn't fail. You're not a failure. You just failed at one thing. And it's important just to take the learnings and move on sometimes. And I wasn't that quick to do it. I think I let my ego get in the way.
Well, and I think it's interesting what you set up too, because it's, you want to work on something where it's easy for people to say yes to it. Right.
Right.
At the end of the day too. And yeah. when it's complicated and complex and there's, you know, multiple departments that need to be involved, it's just, you know, it's really hard. And so unless you can simplify that, yeah. it's tough. It's tough to make a living.
I found out later on my personality. I mean, one of the things I love about tea is that if you can try Firebelly tea for $15, if you like it, great, you'll buy more. You don't have to go ask 10 people if that's okay.
Yeah.
I think it makes for a bit more action and liveliness to it and creativity around it. So I gravitate more towards these sort of creative consumer brands. But it took me some time to figure that out.
Yeah. No, I love that story. Well, David, this is absolutely amazing. And everybody needs to try Firebelly Tea. You're delivering not just D2C in Canada, but also in the US, correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We have a firebellytea.com. We have a US warehouse and we're, you know, 2-3 day delivery and it's at your door.
And hopefully tea stores soon. And also the restaurant, hopefully in the US soon. Any plans to have Mad Radish come to the US?
I don't know. You guys got some great, we'll stick to trying to get Americans drinking great tea for now.
Yeah, no, that's that's awesome. I love it. Well, thanks for sharing all of your insights and your stories and lessons. And it's such an honor to have a serial entrepreneur like you and good guy and smart guy on here, just sharing about, you know, the overall journey. So thank you so much. And thanks everybody for listening to this episode at where you can hear lots of amazing founder stories on the Kara Golden Show, where we get creators and amazing CEOs and sometimes authors as well to come and share a little bit more about their journey and lessons. And definitely give this episode a 5-star rating. It helps the algorithms a lot. And this podcast is trending, almost doubling every single episode. So we're excited to really bring a lot of these stories to people globally. And you can find me on all platforms at Kara Golden. If you haven't had a chance to read my book, Undaunted, Overcoming Doubts and Doubters on the Building of Hint, hopefully you'll pick up a copy. Also ordered on Audible. And we are here every Monday, Wednesday. We are just adding Friday as well, because we've got such great stories coming to you. And thanks again, David. Really, really appreciate this. And have a great rest of the week to you and to everybody.
Thanks so much, Kara. Take care.
Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders. But achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head-on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.